to wash, to make clean with water, and to immerse. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and Christ has so transformed you and that old life has been crucified, we are filled with joy. The good news is the gospel. It's not bad news. It's good. I don't like the word good. I think good is the enemy of great. It's great news. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. And it's incredible news. And we've received that blessing of Jesus Christ. And he says, preach it. Go out and preach. Live lives amongst people that they see your good deeds and they see your hope and they see your joy and they see your passion and they see your compassion and your love to all creation. I love the scripture in Romans where it says all of creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Who's the sons and daughters of God? Say, we are. We are waiting. This creation can't take much longer. What's going on? It is still the weight of the pain and the suffering and all the things that are going on in the world, of which we, the church, were called to come in and do something different. And as I said a number of weeks ago, be light and walk right into darkness and dispel darkness and bring hope, love, and grace through the power of Jesus Christ. And if my hands were tied, I couldn't preach. I know some of you were thinking that, so I just confirmed it. What a message. Whoever believes, say believe. Whoever believes, that's it. Why do we complicate it? Whoever believes. I'm just reading the word. And is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. That is the gospel. It's that simple. The message of hope. The message of Christ. Whoever believes. Let's go to Matthew 3, 16 and 17. We should go to Matthew 3, 13 to 15 first. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? John's questioning, baptizing, whom he believes is the Messiah, the prophesied one. Very interesting that later, when John was imprisoned, he questioned whether he was. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. What does it mean to fulfill all righteousness? Why was Jesus baptized? He was baptized first to validate John the Baptist's ministry. That his ministry, being the forerunner of Jesus Christ, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John was preaching to prepare the people's hearts for the Lord. It was a baptism and a preaching of repentance. And by the way, the gospel message, when we believe, comes with the message of repentance. There's a turning, going to live a new life. I don't live the way I lived before. That old life is horrible. It's awful. It's kept me in chains. It's kept me in prison. That's what sin does. It imprisons us, even though we have the free will to go about and do all that. It imprisons us. But Jesus was baptized to validate the message of John. Secondly, his baptism, Christ's baptism, identifies with you and I. And it does fulfill all righteousness because Jesus came and get this through your hearts and your minds. He came to fulfill the law and to become what we couldn't. We couldn't do it on our own. And in him was the fullness of God, the deity of God. In him was all the fullness of everything that was needed to fulfill the law. And as he cries out on a cross and sheds his blood, my God, why have you forsaken me? all of our sin and anger or disappointment or everything of all of mankind in the past, because not only does the cross look forward, but it looks backward. Think about that. The cross does not just look forward and is not just for the present, it also looks backward. That's a very powerful thought. Because in Acts, the scripture says that God did not hold their ignorance against them. So there's something there that is so powerful. I'll tell you what it is. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind. Oh, that's a great message. That's a good message. We could just stop right here and that's enough. That's how good that is. Wow, the message of the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He was perfect. Well, if he had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, that must have meant he sinned. Never. He identified with us. Never did our Lord sin. Never. Let's go to Hebrews 4. 14 to 16. Have we got that on there? No. Have you got your Bibles? Good. Let's go in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4. Stick to your notes, Pastor Mark. And we all said, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Let's read it. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. What faith are you professing? Faith in self, faith in stuff, faith in money. What faith are you going to profess? Well, we're professing faith in Jesus Christ. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Pastor Mark, do you mean Christ was tempted with stealing?
Yep.
Do you mean he was tempted with lust? Yes. Absolutely, he was. Do you mean he was tempted at all points? Like, does the scripture say? Well, look, it's simple. We either believe this is the entire word of God, and by the way, this is not about Jesus, this is Jesus. All of this word is Jesus. So he was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Now watch this, verse 16. Oh, I love 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. This is when we're in Christ. We approach the throne of grace with confidence because he has paid our sin, paid for it. We celebrated that this morning so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There is actual teaching out there that's going around now throughout the internet or churches, I don't know, that said that Jesus sinned. Write this down. Read the word of God. He did not sin. Amen. He is perfect and pure, and he paid for our salvation. It's called substitution. Didn't put that in the notes. It's called substitution. He paid for it. We didn't deserve it. God substituted him in our place, and by grace we are saved. It's beautiful. What a message. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's go there. Just to build on the fact that Jesus did not sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I've said it before, and I'm getting off the chair to say this again. You and I in Christ are as righteous as God. No, listen, you have to get this. We're as righteous as God. We are not gods. Don't you go away saying that's what I said. Pastor Larry, you and I, this is going to shock all of you. We're as righteous as God. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. In Christ. Yet the church is still living under a poverty line. Not financially. Because if we don't understand who we are and what Christ has done. And our position in Christ. Our position in Christ. We are perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture teaches. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. It doesn't mean we don't at times sin. 1 John says, if anyone says he doesn't sin, he's lying. But I don't call myself a sinner. I call myself a child of the living God. Because of what he's done. He took my old life. It's gone. Once in a while, it crops up like a gopher in spring. And you got to beat him down. Jesus always led by example. Leaders lead the way. He led by example. That's why he was baptized. And Jesus commanded that we be baptized. He commanded it. Number two, why baptism by immersion? Okay, I think we've got Romans chapter 6, 1 to 7 up there. Let's throw that up. Why baptism by immersion? Why do we, in this church, baptize by immersion? Now, let me say this. If any of you have been baptized as a baby, or maybe in your church you were sprinkled, all right, we're not here to wound that or to say you were all wrong, never. But we want to explain why we baptize here by immersion, all right? What shall we say then? This is Paul writing, because he's talking about sin prior in chapter 5. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? Verse 2. By no means, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In other words, now we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do that little demonstration, honey, that we saw the other day. I just came to me. All right. In the Old Testament, see this cup? Everybody see the cup? The Holy Spirit, Curtis, forgive me for I have sinned. The Holy Spirit comes upon. In the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit is poured within. You are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And he gives you the power to turn away from the old life of sin. Because the Spirit of God is living within us. And you know when you do struggle in it, the Spirit of God is grieved within you. That's the dove. And he's trying to say, turn away from that, turn away from that, turn away from that in love. And we grieve the Spirit because the Spirit is now indwelling in us. And so we have the power. So by no means we died to sin and then the Spirit was poured into us. Verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? How many of you here have seen when we do a water baptism? Lift your hands. Many. So we have the portable baptismal here. Person shares their testimony. And we take them and we do this. And we baptize because we're celebrating their life. And we're celebrating the fact that they've turned away from the old life and they're baptized into Christ and into his death. And so when they go under the water, it represents you and me dying. It represents the old life going. In fact, when they baptized in the Jordan River, it's very fascinating. The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea. One day I'm going to get to the Holy Land, Lord willing. And you picture this. If the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea and they baptized in the Jordan, their old life floated down into the Dead Sea. That is a picture of us when we come to Jesus Christ and we believe and we find new life and we are baptized. The old life is gone. The new man has been raised up because, next verse, please watch this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that's why I'm asking you, are you living an abundant new life? Are you living in the fullness of Jesus Christ and what he has done? Is our church living in an abundant life? And by the way, the prophetic word that Herb shared last Sunday, we're going to get it typed out and we're going to put it in the bulletin as an insert for all of you to read again. He said, we've got to be a people of faith. He really encouraged us to be a people of faith. And he said, God believes in you. Do you believe in you? And do you trust what faith has done? You best trust what faith has done, because we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And he also said that this church would affect the entire city. Now it's up to us. But we have a new life, and we have a message that needs to be told to the city and to the world. And I'll tell you something, and Larry mentioned it last week in his message. When you face death, and I faced death in Iraq, I seriously faced death, you think differently. Your life could be gone like that. Like that. And have I lived my life to the fullest of what God wants me to be? I want to live that way, folks. Hear me, I want to live that way. Do you want to live that way? Okay, we can't just use words, it's action. Yeah, we want to live that way. Keep going. 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So that's now and later, because we are seated with Christ right now in heavenly places. That's what scripture says. That's a pretty good place to be. We are as righteous as God, and we're seated with Christ in heavenly realms right now as believers. Whew. 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And we're not, because we're in Christ. If you're struggling, okay, let's get it to the cross. Let's pray with you. Let's believe with you. We can win, and we are winners now, right? And verse 7. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Wow. I did not like preaching, and I still don't like it, when you call the church a bunch of no-good sinners. Nope. We got to build us up, build people up through the word, strengthen people, encourage people. We are more than conquerors. Amen, church. Galatians, that's not there. Turn in your Bibles. Galatians 2, 20 to 21. Let's read 16. We just celebrated 500 years of the Reformation. How many of you know that? Yeah, Martin Luther nailing his 96 points or his theses to the church in Wittenberg. And this is what he based it on, Galatians 2:16. And 15, Paul saying, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Jesus fulfilled it. All right, skip on down. Verse 20, this is the words of Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. Let's say that together. I have been crucified with Christ. Let's read it all together. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Paul saying, I no longer live. That is us we no longer live. If our old life still existed, we have not received salvation. The old life is gone. It's been crucified. It's dead. It tries to come up, and often we allow it to. But Christ, the Holy Spirit, has been poured into us. And we're new creations. If any man is Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. Behold, all things become new. Right? We apply that to the soul area of our lives, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the body. The salvation, sozo, was for the entirety of our body. Spirit, soul, body. Everything. That's what Jesus did. And baptism represents the fact that I have, being immersed, I'm dying, and I'm coming back up in the resurrection, and I've got a new life in Jesus Christ. And when I came to Christ, he made me holy instantly, and because I'm in Christ, he's at work in me, and he's sanctifying me through the work of the Holy Spirit, working to cut away the sharp edges and to mold me into the image of my Master, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful process. What a process. We're being made into Jesus. Do we look like Jesus to the world? Some of us are pretty grumpy. You should sit where I sit. Just kidding. Third point, you'll see it there. We went through it. Salvation is not through baptism. Salvation is identification. It's identification. With what? With Christ and his body. I think somehow every baptism service, we should have a massive celebration, Pastor Larry. Yeah. You know, a young lady gave her life to the Lord last week, and you know, all heaven partied after that, just so you're aware. Along with Jesus, who went to parties, by the way. Okay, he did, and he loved those people. He loved them. I like that Jesus. I really like that Jesus. That makes my heart tick. Yeah. Yep. I love his words. So it's so freeing. Yeah. Boy, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be one big party. Hey, isn't it going to be amazing? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I said to my sister-in-law, Pat, you know, she does decorating. And I said, Pat, you're going to be in, you know, God, Jesus is going to say, hey, Pat, you're going to be decorating over in this section. And there's no budget. No budget. Oh, the days of church budgeting will be over. Yeah. He's such a great Jesus. And I'm going to end with this. When should you be baptized? Now, I want you, before I go on with this, everybody has the notes. Now, you're supposed to take those notes to your life group. But there's people here who have never been water baptized, okay? Never. So I want everybody to take your notes out of your bulletin right now. Everybody, okay? So if you have trusted in Jesus and you put your faith in him, okay, and you've not been baptized, when should you be baptized? Immediately. That's the scripture. The scripture says immediately. And there's some great examples of when Philip went and witnessed to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 and shares and explains the words of Isaiah. And he goes, whoa, I believe, like, okay, whoa, here's water. Shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip says, you betcha, done. There was not a 6-point class in church on why. He got baptized. I'm not saying that's wrong, because we should understand. But really, when you come to Christ, you obey, and then you go through the waters of baptism, and it's immediately. I keep saying this, we just make it too hard. Set the tank up, they believed in Christ, dunk them, done. Jesus said, baptize, and he was baptized, right? Don't make it so difficult. Let's celebrate. Let's just throw a banquet and a party. People have found new life in Jesus. Yeah. So immediately. So here's what we're going to do. Sharon, would you come to the piano? And I'm going to have Sharon just play very quietly. Now, if you've not been baptized, you don't do it because the preacher said you should. You do it because the scripture says follow in the ways of Christ. Okay?